If we think of composer Felix Mendelssohn and Christmas, we most likely bring to mind Hark the Herald Angels Sing. It's not that he actually wrote the carol as a carol, but rather it's that he composed a four-movement festival song for male chorus and brass, and he knew even then that the second movement should be adapted for independent use. It could stand alone, he believed. And that's what happened when a young organist who'd sung under Mendelssohn set the words, "Hark the Herald Angels Sing," to Mendelssohn's music. A perfect match, and kudos to the arranger. But Mendelssohn actually wrote six Christmas pieces for piano, Opus 72. They were composed as Christmas gifts for friends of the family. And then there is this powerful piece from Mendelssohn's unfinished oratorio, Christus. There shall a star from Jacob come forth, often performed independently at Christmas time. Mendelssohn here, in many moods and textures, yet each of these pieces rooted in a sense of the meaning and the spirit of the season. And that's something akin to what we'll find on the Clark Summit University Christmas concerts this weekend. A variety of music, some of the pieces familiar, some brand new, some arranged freshly, and actually closing with this star music from Christus. Yet each of the pieces rooted in the meaning and beauty of the Christmas season. Adam Schwamm and David Harris of the Department of Music will share the conducting duties, and the featured ensembles will include the chamber singers, the concert choir, as well as various smaller groupings and solo performances. Adam Schwamm paid a visit to the WVIA studios with three of the student performers to be featured, Amelia Makis, Andrew Hartley, and Drew Bundy.
We are celebrating the Christmas season at Clark Summit University, and we have three performances through the 15th and 16th. And our Christmas concerts are really an amalgamation, a collection of what you think of when you think of Christmas in its fullest sense. So there's a little bit of everything on this concert. We've got secular, sacred, jazz, pop, and of course lots and lots of choral music. Because it wouldn't be Christmas without choral music. So our program really includes all students at Clark Summit University. So of course you'll see music majors, and we have music ed majors, and we have worship study majors. But then our choirs are predominantly made up of students of all walks of majors. Throughout the semester, even over the summer, David Harris, the other director, and I are always thinking about what rep would be great to have. But then it's always a caveat of what rep fits the students and the ensembles. So each year, while the theme is always Christmas, Christ's birth, while we always want it to be a celebration of that, it changes in terms of repertoire depending on the students and what fits those students.
Tell us then about the rhythm and balance of the concert.
So the main arc, I think, of the concert is that it climaxes with the congregational singing. So this is a portion of our concert in which we invite audience members to sing with the choirs congregationally. And so the two hymns being featured this year are The First Noel and Silent Night. And of course, in the historic Murphy Library, a cappella singing in that glorious Gothic cathedral-esque library. The reverb is amazing. It's really what I would say like a goosebump moment. It's a beautiful moment. And so everything arcs around that, and then we intersperse soloists between choral settings. We've got the jazz ensemble. We've got even choral pieces arranged by the pentatonic, so there's a little bit of something for everyone.
Adam, you're joined by some of your veteran performers, and we'd like to learn a little bit more about each of you. Amelia.
I started playing piano when I was 5. I've been in choir pretty much that long as well. I've played flute and guitar along the way. So really since coming to college and also in high school, I've loved choral music especially. I've been a voice proficiency the past couple of years, and I love that. I'm looking at doing grad work in vocal performance or choral conducting if things line up that way. So I'm excited to continue developing those abilities and using them to bless other people. That's really my motivation. I want to become the best version of myself that I can be through those gifts, but I'm using them to give to other people.
Andrew, you're a little bit of a late starter, aren't you?
Yes. So I had early experiences with music in church, and then I started taking piano lessons. My mom actually taught me when I was 8. And that was just kind of some introductory stuff. So I became more serious about it when I was 12, and then really started to spend a lot of time, but specifically with piano literature. So I figured, you know, I enjoy piano, I enjoy music, so maybe I'll give music head a try. And so the past 4 years have really been exciting for me to expand into so many areas that I wasn't familiar with.
And Drew, how about your background in music?
I kind of grew up doing church music a lot. I would sing and play piano in church, and I was always on the praise team and the choir, things like that. And when I finally did decide to study music, it was kind of for selfish ambition. And as I've studied it at Clark Summit, I've really been able to see how I can use this gift to impact others. And I started off as a voice major, and then I switched to composition my sophomore year. And a lot of that was just due to studying theory. I'd always kind of written some stuff in high school, things like that, but nothing great. And studying theory and having a better understanding of music really pushed me to want to know how to write it better.
And you'll each have a number of things to do throughout the course of the concert.
Like I was saying before, there's a little bit of something for everyone at this concert. Everything from Bach to Chopin to arrangements of Deck the Halls, new compositions featured by Drew written this year, settings by Bob Chilcott, and of course it wouldn't be Christmas without John Rutter, and even some Felix Mendelssohn on there. And then the range, the gamut of genres even, from chambers, which is a quartet, to the choir, which I direct, which is a bit bigger than that, around 30 choristers, jazz ensemble. There's all sorts of different things going on. Of course, the texts that we're encountering here are things from the 1500s to today.
Amelia, what's one of the highlights of the program for you?
Well, Chambers is doing Pentatonic's edition of Mary, Did You Know? And it's probably terrible to say as a classical musician, but it's a lot of fun to be able to do a pop piece. And we've tried doing Pentatonic's before, but this is the first time we're doing it with 5 people. And it really is, we're in for that. So it's been a lot of fun trying to figure out how to create a pop piece out of 4 or 5 very classical voices. But it's a lot of fun to put that one together.
Andrew, your turn.
I would say one of the high points of the entire evening for me is actually the last piece, which is There Shall a Star from Jacob Come Forth by Mendelssohn. And it's been exciting. We're actually combining both choral groups for that piece. And it has a lot of beautiful imitation at the beginning of the song. And then there's this really stark contrast as we get into text that he's quoted from Psalm 2:9. And it's talking about, in the first part of the piece, he's talking about the star that's coming from Jacob. And then he ties in Psalm 2:9 to say that this star is going to dash in pieces princes and nations. So it's just this very, very stark contrast from the beginning. And although it's very sobering, it's also hopeful, because the idea is that Christ is coming to set up a kingdom that's characterized by righteousness. So he's overthrowing all of this corruption and establishing a righteous kingdom.
As a composer, Drew, it must be exciting to hear what someone with Mendelssohn's skill is up to in a piece like that.
It is, yeah. I'm in chambers, so we kind of came late to the game to this piece. And so I haven't had a lot of time to really concentrate on much of what he's doing just because I'm trying to learn it. But it is really beautiful, especially how he combines the influences with Bach. It's really exciting.
Now, Drew, you're going to both be featured as an arranger and as a composer.
It was really exciting. I got to arrange the jazz piece, which is kind of like a dream come true. I really enjoy jazz, and so it's been fun to be able to write for that. And we just had a saxophonist come as a freshman, Philip Davidson. So we were really excited to be able to showcase his talent. And myself and Erica Bopp are going to be singing it, and then Dr. Harris is on the piano. Lane Bonewitz is going to be playing drums, and then James Partridge, a bass. And he's also being featured on the marimba in the Bleakman Winter. And it was really fun to take these two Christmas songs that I knew and really enjoyed. We're taking I'm Dreaming of a White Christmas and also Have Yourself a Merry Little Christmas and putting them together. And it's exciting because I got to arrange not only the instrumental parts, but it was really collaborative with Philip improvising and Dr. Harris as well. And so we kind of go through a lot of different vibes and feels throughout the song, from very subdued to really upbeat and very swung. And so it's cool to kind of see how the whole thing comes together. And it's really exciting. I got to reharmonize a little bit of White Christmas because as I was looking at different arrangements of it, it was really kind of boring. And so I wanted to add some more exciting chords and to teach the pianist how to do all that. And then even all the instrumentalists, it was really exciting to see all that come together.
Have you heard Drew's work, Adam?
So I also teach composition. So Drew and I have been working on this together. And like Drew said, it's for the classical musician to find themselves in the world of jazz. Suddenly they're in a world of extended tertiary harmony. And it's way past theory four now. And so like Drew is saying, it's fun to look at harmony in a functional sense, but extended tertiary harmony. So like Drew is saying, to kind of play, change, and arrange. And plus you're always dealing with the listener's perception of what they expect to hear. You never want to go too far from that, but you're always wanting as the arranger to put your own personalized stamp on it as well. And Drew has done that brilliantly.
How about your own piece?
So I knew I wanted to arrange something for Chambers to sing for the Christmas concert, and I was working on this last semester. And as I was scouring for texts to use, I wanted something that wasn't horribly long, and I wanted it to be about Christmas, and I was like, some trouble. And Isaac Watts' Cradle Hymn was just perfect because just three stanzas, and it's a lullaby to a child, reminding them of the hardships that Jesus went through when he came to the earth, and I just was really taken by it, and so I set it to be very kind of subtle in the first two verses when you're singing the child asleep, and I recapitulate the first couple lines, which are hush dear, and lie still and slumber, and so it just creates this bed of sound that then the soloist can kind of come up above. And then the only moment where all of us are singing in unison, well, not in unison, but together, kind of in a strophic way, is on the third verse, where you're really challenging the child to praise Christ and live as him. And I really wanted to emphasize that with the big moment. So that's kind of the crescendo of the piece.
Are you singing on that, Amelia?
Yeah, it is a unique experience, because so often when you're working through a piece of music, you're trying to figure out what the composer intended and how to reinterpret that, but when you have the composer right there, he can tell you about every crescendo and breath mark, but it really is a beautiful piece. It's interesting to be singing it as a quartet because everybody's very exposed, and the soprano line, which is what I sing, it's lovely, but to get the technique required for it to sound smooth and pure and rising above has been a fun challenge for me. But yeah, he did a great job composing it, and it's a lot of fun to be able to sing with the composer, sing with other friends, and to be able to debut a piece of music is exciting.
As a composer, Drew, did you have Amelia's voice in your ear as you were creating the piece?
Yeah, I knew that Amelia would be one of our sopranos. I didn't know that Chambers would be so small this year, but it was a really beautiful arrangement to just have four voices on it. And I really enjoyed kind of working with them as we go. The score is littered with lots of extra marks. I tend to be very specific in how I want music to be expressed. And so it was exciting to be able to work with everyone and make sure that we were really all on the same page, which is something I know if the music gets published or out there, I won't have that opportunity to really be that specific. So it's exciting to make it just what I want it to be.
It's a very honest and intimate piece. I think Drew, as he studied with me, Drew's full of ideas. And that's a rarity, actually, in composition. We're often so scared to put anything out there that we're afraid to write anything. Drew has kind of this ability to just endlessly have ideas, and it's wonderful. And when he writes, there are sometimes he's just throwing so many ideas out there that we work together and we boil that down to its essence. And this piece, to me, when I hear it performed, is perfect for chambers as a quartet, because it is such a soft, humble setting of the Watts text. Drew's really done a wonderful job here.
It's time, Andrew, to hear about the Chopin you've chosen.
So I'm playing Chopin's Nocturne in D-flat major, Opus 27, number 2. And I actually played this piece for my senior recital that I recently had as well. So this has been an exciting piece for me to grow with. I've always enjoyed Chopin literature, as for as long as I've been playing it. And I guess one of the reasons why I enjoy it so much is because of his writing. The textures he uses are just so idiomatic for the piano. So it's really great to be able to have the broken chords in the left hand and really have the melody singing out with all sorts of chromatic embellishments and stuff, and it's beautiful.
Do you see how it works on a concert like this one?
Absolutely, yeah. It starts out, you know, very, very calm, and then with the broken chords in the left hand, and then there's a kind of an initial melody, and then it's kind of a duet going back and forth with the second melody. And then as the piece continues, it does come to kind of a big climax moment, and it's really beautiful.
You explained earlier, Adam, about the culminating moments of the concert when the community joins in with all of the university ensembles this year for the First Noel and Silent Night.
Yeah, Christmas time, I think, is an intensely personal time. The older you get, the more memories you associate with it. And music is one of those intrinsically very powerful ones. When you include not just secular pieces, like Leroy Anderson's Sleigh Ride, which Amelia and Andrew are going to do a wonderful piano duet of, but when you start looking at religious texts, texts which have deep historical meaning and truth infused in them, that the Christmas concert for us at CSU is one that we want to share. If we kept it for ourselves, if it was just an in-house thing, it would be almost devoid of meaning, because the message of Christmas is meant to be shared. And so what we have in that evening is, like I said, just intensely personal. And it not only represents what CSU is about, not just what Christmas is about, but a moment of sharing in that message collectively together.
You just talked about music and memories. Is there a piece on the program that takes you back in some sense?
some of these pieces I have known since I was, I would say, probably around junior high age. John Rutter has been something I think anyone who's been in a choir has encountered some Rutter at some point. And so that carries memories. Other settings, like Amelia sing a beautiful setting of Lo, How a Rose, a wonderful setting of Michael Praetorius's original melody, and of course the text is beautiful. Carol of the Bells, that's always echoing somewhere in our memory. And then, like Andrew was saying earlier, the carol is not only musical, but the text brings something back. So Felix Mendelssohn's setting of There Shall a Star from Jacob Comforth is quoting scripture, which we've kind of been deeply rooted in. So that brings up emotions and feelings and ultimately a sense of great hope, which is what Christmas is about.
Adam Schwamm, assistant professor and music department chair at Clark Summit University, with student musicians Amelia Makis, Andrew Hartley, and Drew Bundy, speaking about the annual Christmas concert on the campus, 538 Vernard Road, South Abington Township, is Friday, December 15th at 7 in the evening, with two performances on Saturday, December 16th at 3 o'clock in the afternoon and again at 7 p.m. For more information on the web, clarksummitu.edu, clarksummitu.edu. clarksville.edu. There will be the concerts, the concert choir, chamber singers, the ensembles all together, congregational singing. There will be music of Bach from the Partita No. 3 in E major with violinist Chelsea Miller as part of the program. For more information on the web, clarksummitu.edu, clarksummitu.edu. That's Friday, December 15th at 7 in the evening, and two performances this Saturday, December 16th at 3 in the afternoon and again at 7 p.m.